All right, we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN here at 918. We're talking with Dr. Sue Nelson from K-State College of Veterinary Health and Medicine. And we're talking about some spring tips you can take for your cats and dogs. Boy, there's a lot of good things you can do to prevent some of these, like fleas and ticks, heartworms. And we talked about tularemia. Next, we're going to get into a topic that I've actually been bitten by these before, and it's not fun, and that's chiggers. And this can be a problem for our pets as well.
Yes, they can. They are equal opportunity biters. And primarily, I have seen cats come in with it, but we see a lot of dogs come in with chigger bites in the summer. A lot of times they're on their belly and between their toes. But sometimes they're on their backs. If they, when they're out there rolling in the grass, they'll pick them up there too. And some of these dogs, just like people, really react to those bites. And they will be very itchy, get secondary skin infections that we'll need to treat them with some antibiotics and give them some medication to help with the itch.
What, and they usually live in what, some maybe the grassy areas?
Yeah, they like the grassy areas, and as the weather starts to warm up, they like the higher humidity levels and a little bit warmer heat. So, yeah, when we're out in our lawns, we're going to sit in there walking through there. That's when we're going to get bitten.
So there's, you know, your dog or your cat going to love to go out there maybe in the summertime and roll around, and there's a good chance they're gonna experience some of these. So maybe keeping your lawn short, something like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, chiggers are really hard to control. You can spray your yard, but if it rains a lot, you're going to have to spray it every time after it's rained. So you can do your best. Yeah, keep your lawn mowed. If you're spraying, just be careful to follow the package instructions. Keep the pets off for the specified amount of time so we don't run into any toxicity issues.
How can you distinguish between a chigger bite and maybe like a mosquito bite?
We can often find the chiggers on one of the skin lesions. And so they look like a little tiny reddish-orange little speck that's usually sitting on a little pustule on their wherever they're located at.
All right. And why... I've always wondered why they like to bite us.
That's a good question. I think they just need us to feed and survive.
Well, yeah, they're very uncomfortable. I remember having to take an oatmeal bath once just to try to get rid of those symptoms. Not fun at all.
Yes, they are. No, they're not.
Another thing we're going to have to deal with here is we haven't had a lot of this yet. We did have one last week, but that's thunderstorms, severe weather. And I know dogs many times will get panic-stricken whenever those come around, and trying to make sure that your animals are okay with thunderstorms. I know it's a little tough.
It is. It's really tough. The good news is for the dogs with the severe storm phobias, we do have medications that can make their life a lot easier and their owners' lives a lot easier. They're best given an hour or so before the storm's supposed to hit, so if you're watching the radars, we'll tell people that if there's at least a 50% chance of storms in the forecast and they're getting ready to go to work in the morning, just to give their dog its medication and have it on board. It's a lot tougher for the medication to work once the storm's hit and the dogs are already panicked. But other things they can do for the mild storm phobia, sometimes they just need a quiet, dark place to go hide. So that might be in their crate or under the bed, and that's okay if they want to be under there. Pulling the blinds so it blocks out the lightning flashes, running the TV really, really loud can help with the noise as well. The thing we can't control is those barometric pressure changes that they notice as well, better than we do even. So we do what we can to help calm them. And then be calm, too. We don't want to be too calm and reassuring when they're having this scared, because that kind of reinforces them being scared. So be a little more nonchalant about it, I guess. And then if you're really scared of the storms as well, they may feed off of that a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, this is a good reminder this time of year also, you know, as you have your storm shelter in place or whatever, and you have maybe an emergency kit to include your pets in that as well.
That's a great idea. Yeah, have at least a week's worth of medications on hand ready to go, because we never know when we might have to evacuate, you know, if there's a tornado or something that comes through. Have names of your veterinarian and phone numbers so you know who to call. Know ahead of time where you might be able to go to if you have to leave your home as well.
And I imagine, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea to have your pet microchip too in case they go missing during a storm.
That is an excellent idea because collars can be lost. They can break and come off. They all have pros and cons. It's nice to have identification in as a tag on a collar as well, so because that's right there an instant where they can look at it. But having the microchip is a backup for that as well.
All right, very good. Well, and then one thing, it's going to get warm again here very soon. We'll see this.
At some time.
Yeah, at some point. So the temperatures are going to heat up, and we want to make sure we're taking care of our pets when it does get hot.
Yeah, we want to make sure there's a lot of fresh water, so rotate it, at least change it a couple times a day. If their food is outside, again, you'll need to change it at least a couple times a day. If it gets hotter, maybe even more frequently because the flies and insects are going to be attracted, and it will spoil more quickly as well. And then make sure there's shade available at any time during the day. So actually, like if you're home on a weekend, go and follow the shade pattern through your yard and make sure your dog or cat who's out there is always going to have some shade. And then I think we need to be mindful when we're out exercising to keep it to the cooler times of the early mornings before 10 or after 7 at night. And even realize then, sometimes these dogs are still going to suffer from heat stroke or heat exhaustion because sometimes the temperatures might not be as hot, but the humidity levels are really high. That also makes them more susceptible as well.
Yeah, and I imagine you probably treat some heat illnesses each year.
Yeah, we have a lot come through our emergency service, and it's sad because we're not going to be able to save some of these. They're just too far gone by the time we get them. So making sure you're taking breaks, watching for signs of them lagging behind, getting thick, ropey saliva because they're drying out from being dehydrated, really dark, kind of dark red mucous membranes and tongue, all signs we need to stop, pull over, get them a drink, cool them off, hose them off if you need to.
And, you know, we talk about this a lot with kids, but it bears mentioning as well, if you're taking your animal with you, your dog or cat for that matter, and they're in your car, you know, you can't really leave them in a hot car. You don't want
we shouldn't.
Even with a cracked window, yeah. That's not a good idea.
Even with a cracked window, we've all gone to our cars with cracked windows and feel how hot it is when we get in there. And our dogs and our pets just aren't going to be able to compensate, just like little children either. So that is a very dangerous practice to have. There's some states who have even enacted laws that protect people from going through and breaking a window to get a dog. Usually these are dogs in the cars, to get one out of a car that might be overheating.
Wow. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's things we maybe take for granted sometimes. We don't always think about it, but it's a good reminder. And one thing I remember talking a lot about here when it does heat up is, you know, the pads of their feet can get very hot on the concrete.
Yeah, concrete and asphalt get really hot. Most of us don't like to walk on those with our bare feet either. So, again, we need to keep it down to the cooler times of day when the surfaces aren't going to be so hot or they could get some pad burns.
Right.
And the other thing will be they have tender feet like we do, like we've had our shoes on all winter. They don't have shoes on, but still, their pads aren't as tough. So sometimes people take them out for a long run or walk on gravel roads or rocky surfaces. We see a lot of torn pads with that as well because they just haven't had a chance to toughen up.
Can they get blisters too?
Kind of like that. They just wear their pads off, and they are extremely painful.
Goodness. Well, hopefully people will take the caution here for their pets. And then cats, you know, that's another thing. Cats kind of roam however they want, so maybe just kind of keeping an eye on them, making sure they're in and out when they need to be.
Yeah, they still need to have their water and food changed as well, shady areas to get some respite. Cats tolerate the heat a little better than dogs do. They tend to not be out running around during the real hot times either. Like people, we sometimes force our dogs, not I hate to say force because they always want to go with us, but for a run or a walk when it's hot, but maybe we shouldn't, where cats tend to be a little smarter about it and just kind of hang out and stay in the shade.
Yeah. Well, if anybody has any questions or concerns, how can they get a hold of you at the Vet Med?
Yeah, so our phone number is 785-532-5690, and we're always here to answer questions.
All right. Anything else, Dr. Nelson?
No, we covered a whole lot of territory. We hope everyone's staying safe, enjoying their pet. A lot of dogs are getting their extra walks and liking that. Yeah, and I just put out an article, just be careful about bites. We are spending more time with our pets, and just remember they need their alone time as well. So they don't always want to be with us 24/7. So make sure we're giving them some time alone.
All right, yeah, that's very important. Everybody needs that for sure. Dr. Nelson, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you guys again down the road.
All right, nice talking to you.
All right. Dr. Sue Nelson joining us here with K-State Vet Med. We will have more in focus next with USD 3D3 members. We're going to talk summer STEM learning.